Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is the middle of the week, and it's been exactly 1 week since the NFL league year has begun for 2024. A lot has happened in that week's span. We will catch you up on everything and what it means already for the 2024 NFL campaign here on FFC. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, tomorrow starts the NCAA tournament. It is madness there. We have seen madness in the free agency flurry that began just about a week and a half ago. And we already continue to see moves even as the offseason calendar in the NFL hits a lull. Aaron Rodgers has a new target in New York. Jerry Jeudy, now a Cleveland Brown, gets a big payday. What does it mean investment-wise for the Cleveland Browns and some other moves around the AFC North we will detail here in this hour on Football Full Circle?
Yeah, and I wonder if Aaron Rodgers had any say in him coming over, Mike Williams. You know, doesn't appear to be any ties, but, you know, with all the moves made last year with Aaron Rodgers' okay and suggestions, whether it's players or offensive coordinators, you know, you just wonder how much he has this season. So, but good addition, right? And for the Jets, I must say, you know, if there was any doubt they were doubling down on this being the year, you know, that clearly that is it. One-year deal, productive player with the Chargers. Yep. That's actually not a bad signing for the Jets.
Yeah, let's start with Mike Williams. He makes his way now to gangrene, a one-year deal worth up to $15 million across from Garrett Wilson, one of the bright stars at the wide receiver position in the National Football League. And Scott, Mike Williams was drafted 7th overall in the first round of the 2017 NFL draft. Before we dive into Mike Williams' career and what he still might have left in the tank now as a member of the Jets franchise, we welcome in that SiriusXM audience on channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on SiriusXM. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So all 7 years of Mike Williams' NFL career has been spent with the Chargers organization. Of course, they made some changes in their wideout room just last week. The release of Mike Williams after 7 years, the trade of Keenan Allen after 11 seasons with the Bolts to the Bears in Chicago, a shifting wideout room in LA for Justin Herbert about to enter year number 5. But with that being said, Scott, when you look at Mike Williams and what he presents, it's been a career where it's been plagued by injury. Only 3 games this season ago. He has only played 1 full season. That was way back in his second year in the NFL in 2018. But when he is healthy, there is no doubt he is one of the best down-the-field targets in all of the sport. He's huge. He's 6'4", he's 6'5". You put the football up there, more than likely Mike Williams is going to come down with it. It's just a matter of health and where that stands at this stage of his career. Now about to enter year number 8 in the National Football League.
Yeah, I remember him in college, Ben. I thought he was going to be great in the NFL. I mean, he was just a man amongst boys, kind of like Pitts with Atlanta, where I thought the same thing, and I still think he could be really great with a good quarterback. We'll see down in Atlanta. But watching Williams play with Clemson, man, those were those great, great Clemson teams. I thought he would be good. You said it really hasn't been because he, you know, hasn't been good. It's just he can't stay healthy. Even if he's playing half the time, he would be like a questionable. So, I mean, you look at the games he's played, 16, 15, 15, 16, 13, only three last year. But I remember all those years that every single week you wouldn't know if he'd be able to play or not and even get in there. So it's like he's never really been healthy. He's only had more than 65 receptions 1 year. You know, 10 touchdowns only one time. But the potential was always there. It just never could stay healthy.
Yeah, it is a good move for the Jets, right? There is that investment into the offensive side of the football for what might be Aaron Rodgers' only year truly at the helm as the quarterback for this Jets offense. And Scott, when you look at Mike Williams and you look at the stats that he has put up and the sample size that he has, I love looking at the yards per reception. Pretty much every single year of his career, it's been in the double digits. It's been 15 for five of the six full years that he has played the most football. Back in 2019, his third year in the National Football League, he led the NFL at 20.4 yards per grab. That means that when he was getting the football, it was a big play more often than not for that Chargers organization. And there is a hope, of course, with health, that when you look at this New York Jets offense, there's a lot of pieces that you would like. It was a similar thought entering last year. Of course, the biggest health component is Aaron Rodgers, about to be 40 years old, coming off the torn Achilles in his left leg. Breece Hall, who bounced back in a big way at the end of last year after he tore his ACL during his rookie campaign. Garrett Wilson has been as consistent and reliable as they come. Again, one of the bright stars at the wide receiver spot in the National Football League. And if Mike Williams can be out there for double-digit games, Scott, even if it's not all 17 for the New York Jets, that's a pretty lethal offense. Again, I am not overly optimistic, as I was a season ago, on the New York Jets outlook. The win total was 9.5. Didn't think they would get there. Now it's 13 consecutive seasons the Jets have missed out on the playoffs, the longest active drought in all of the four major men's professional sports leagues in North America, the NFL, NBA, MLB, and NHL to boot. That is what the Jets are trying to overcome. Last year, Scott, there was an idea with Aaron Rodgers and all the young talent around him, they would be a true conference contender in the AFC. Of course, that was not the case from the fourth offensive snap of the season. Now, Scott, I don't think there's even a belief that if everybody is healthy, the New York Jets rival the Kansas City Chiefs or the Baltimore Ravens or the Buffalo Bills or the Cincinnati Bengals or who else you want to throw in to that list. But there is a thought that if healthy, they could be an above 500 team and maybe they could contend for one of those wild card spots in the AFC.
Yeah, you just wonder, Ben, there's really a two-pronged thing now, right? Because you got Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers can come back. He could be healthy. He could be completely healed from his Achilles, but that doesn't mean at 40-plus years old with the Achilles injury behind him that he's not a step slow. And if he was getting injured, before the injury, what's he going to be like now, even though he technically could be healthy? Same thing with Mike Williams. He only played three games last year because he tore his ACL. Now, 29 years old for me, that's young, But for the NFL purposes, that's right on the cusp of, now you're on the outside looking in. He can be completely healthy from his ACL, but is he going to be as fast as he was before? That they'll have to see.
Right. Absolutely so. I mean, there was a thought, Scott, entering last year, coming off one of the worst years of Aaron Rodgers' career in 2022, his final in Green Bay, would he still look like the four-time NFL MVP who had won the MVP back-to-back seasons the year before? It was one of the worst of his career. There are so many question marks about what Aaron Rodgers still has left in the tank, despite him saying that all of the off-the-field stuff doesn't matter and he doesn't want to be a distraction, and any distraction that makes its way into the Jets clubhouse needs to be quickly stamped out. He continues to be a distraction off the football field as much as anything we have even seen on the football field, and there hasn't been anything on the football field for Aaron Rodgers in a New York Jets uniform outside of four offensive snaps during his first season in New York. You would hope that changes for the Jets moving forward. A 16-1 number on the New York Jets to win the AFC, where that stands at the moment, Scott, it is the seventh best price. The Chiefs the favorites, the Ravens second, Bills third, Bengals fourth, Houston at the fifth spot at 11-1, and the Dolphins at 12-1. Again, we always reference it. Seven is a big number in terms of how the conference outlook looks because of the very fact that seven teams make it in to the NFL postseason in each conference. I'm not sure the Jets will have the seventh best make playoff price when those numbers come out. The Chargers only a buck behind at 17-1. And then a couple of intriguing teams at 20-1. The Browns and the Jaguars. We'll talk about Cleveland's big acquisition in the wide receiver room and the payment they have given to Jerry Jeudy on the other side of the break with more NFL news and notes here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Scott, it was a big Tuesday afternoon for wide receivers. Mike Williams signing a one-year, $15 million deal with the New York Jets. Earlier in the offseason, the Browns and the Broncos engaged in a deal. Cleveland got Jerry Jeudy. They traded for him from the Denver Broncos after four seasons spent in the Mile High City. Jerry Jeudy, who was the 15th overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft, now finds a new home. In his 4 years in Denver, Scott, he never had a 1,000-yard receiving season, but he still has been good at times, even with an unshaky rotation of quarterbacks, mainly Russell Wilson, the last 2 years. But without really hitting that promise, he got a pretty big contract extension yesterday from Cleveland. 3-year deal, $58 million, worth about $41 million guaranteed. My question, Scott, for the Browns, with all of the money invested on the offensive side of the football, are we going to see it come to fruition this year in 2024?
Yeah, that's the big question. You know, in a lot of ways, Judy's Williams, you know, just never great in college, Alabama, first round pick, just never really getting to that level. Was he part of the problem in Denver, or was he just the effect of it, where we're not having great quarterbacks? You know, generally, you know, you'd think you'd be able to emerge some way somehow, but he was not. But you're right, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, you know, Chubb comes back healthy from his knee injury from last year, and you got the wide receivers now. You got a good tight end, Njoku. It's up to the quarterback, right? You know, it's amazing. As every year goes by, you know, the highlight of Deshaun Watson is getting less and less and less and less, to the point now where the Browns really aren't even a consideration. I mean, if you're buying into Cleveland on FanDuel and the boys in Vegas, I mean, you're getting yourself a pretty good price for a team that, you know, should be offensively terrific, right? Defensively, I don't know why they couldn't play last year on the road, but they were awful on the road defensively and great at home. But that's a halfway decent football team if Watson plays well.
Yeah, and that's a big if, because we have seen Deshaun Watson now in 6 total games, 5 full games for the Cleveland Browns. And when he has been out there, whether it was the 11-game suspension for multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy in 2022, and the final 6 games of that year, where he hadn't played football in nearly 2 years, and people said, all right, just let him work off the rust. Well, he had a full offseason without any suspension looming and with no injuries entering 2023. It might be mean to Russ to say that's what Deshaun Watson looked like. 16 of 29 in the opener against the Bengals, albeit in a 24-3 win, but 152 yards, a touchdown to 1 interception. In fact, Scott, in his 2 years now in Cleveland, he had 7 touchdowns to 4 INTs last year in 6 games. He had 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions in 2022 in those 6 games. His completion percentage 2 years ago, 58.2, at least last year in 2023. It was up over 60% at 61.4, but there's not any games that you really see in here that look like the Deshaun Watson who we saw last with the Houston Texans when fully healthy and not suspended in 2020, who looked like one of the promising young quarterbacks in the National Football League. He hasn't thrown for over 300 yards. In fact, he's only had 2 games that have been over 275. I say all this because it's the value that is tied to Deshaun Watson, that fully guaranteed contract with the Cleveland Browns, where it was really Joe Flacco, Scott, that unlocked a Browns offense to bring them into the postseason and to do things that Kevin Stefanski has probably been hoping for the last 2-3 years, even probably back to the days of Baker Mayfield. So can Deshaun Watson step up and in, having played 12 football games now in what is really the last 4 calendar years? I'm not so sure I would have the confidence in that until I see it.
Yeah. You know, and I still don't understand why the Browns would not have brought Flacco back unless they just really didn't want any controversy at all. Just like, you know, you got to double down on Watson as our guy, and we don't want fans yelling and screaming, which maybe would happen if Watson puts up similar numbers. You know, the weird thing about Deshaun Ben is, at least last year anyway, he was 5-1. They were successful, but as you pointed out, the numbers just aren't there. Only 7 touchdown passes in the 6 games. It's not the old flair of, you know, of the Houston Texans, you know, when he was there. And it's reflective in the standings as far as the odds. I mean, they're the ninth choice, not to win the Super Bowl, but to win the AFC. They're behind the Chargers, who are seemingly getting rid of every productive player in the world. They're behind the Jets, who you don't know what you're getting with the Jets, right? I mean, that is amazing that they would be so far behind all those other teams, albeit in a very good AFC, but still. Right. You know, I don't think people expected that when they gave Deshaun Watson that crazy contract a few years ago.
No, not at all, right? And with all that was traded for Deshaun Watson, 6 draft picks, multiple first rounders, all that has gone into the investment, both monetarily in terms of that fully guaranteed contract, but also in what Cleveland has sacrificed in a way based on building their future outside of that. As Scott said, the Browns 20-1. Tied for that 9th best number alongside the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Scott, when you look at the AFC North, the division that Cleveland plays in, it is going to be wildly competitive once again. The Steelers have made huge acquisitions to their quarterback room, putting the QB room, regardless of who ends up being the starter for the majority of the year, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, I think at a leg up of where it has been over the past 2-3 seasons. And as we know with Pittsburgh, the floor is not all that low. A winning season, never a losing record under Mike Tomlin. Nevertheless, than 8 wins and always a winning record since the NFL expanded to 17 games. And they have the longest price in the AFC North at plus 950. The Browns have the 3rd best number at plus 550. The Bengals plus 175. And the Ravens, the favorites, at plus 110. Scott, even with the injury to Joe Burrow a year ago, in which, of course, Joey B missed a good majority of the season for Cincy, all 4 teams in the AFC North finished above 500. 3 of the 4 made the postseason. The Ravens, who had the best record, and both the Browns and the Steelers in wild card spots. Sure, Cleveland and Pittsburgh were bounced in the opening round of the AFC playoffs, but they both got there. And that is why I think the price for Cleveland is so difficult, because can you even get out of your own division? Is it going to be so competitive it hurts your overall record? I guess not last year, as everybody finished above 500 and only Pittsburgh had a winning record in the division at 5-1. Yes, Pittsburgh had the winning record in the division, which is just kind of crazy to say, but that's where it's just bonkers when you look at the prices and try to correlate a path through the AFC North for all of these teams.
Yeah, you put it to perspective, the Tennessee Titans have similar odds at 6-1, slightly more than the plus 550, but Tennessee's 6-1 to win the AFC South, and I don't think anyone thinks the Tennessee Titans is winning the NFC South. And you have 2 good teams in the Texans and theoretically the Jaguars there, right? But the AFC North is so loaded that you got to go through 3 teams realistically instead of just the 2 for Tennessee. So it's got to be tough. But that shouldn't affect them as far as making a wild card. Pittsburgh and Baltimore both got in the playoffs last year, and I still think Cincinnati would have as well had Joey B stayed healthy. So
yeah,
you might not win the division, which is what we're talking about, but that shouldn't stop them from making the playoffs.
Right, and that's where it stands. And Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Titans 6-1 price is the longest of the 4 in the AFC South, which is pretty crazy when you correlate that to a price that is similar to Cleveland's in terms of what just a divisional number looks like. But given what the AFC South is expected to be and what the AFC North is expected to be as well, the Jaguars are right there with the Browns at 20-1 to win the AFC. I actually like the price more on Jacksonville because I think the AFC South is a little bit more up for grabs from the divisional standpoint, and probably a little bit better of a chance then for the Jags to just bump up the overall record. The Bengals also made an addition yesterday, Scott, adding Trent Brown, longtime offensive lineman, spent the last 3 years in New England, nearly a decade in the NFL. Never hurts to fill up on the offensive line and try to protect your most prized possession in Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he's got to stay healthy. That's the one, you know, like all these guys, obviously, but he's had some health issues. But if he's on the football field, that's a pretty, you know, if you're Joey B, you know, you've been able to keep T. Higgins, you know, you franchise him, you know, you lose Mixon, but you replace him, and now you get a big fat guy in the offensive line. That's a good move.
Yeah. always a good move, right? You got to protect that prized possession. Joe Burrow now is the most expensive player in the history of the NFL, at least to this point of the offseason. We'll see what happens with Dak Prescott and maybe Tua Tagovailoa later this offseason. More Football Full Circle coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, just a few more news and notes around the National Football League. We brought the news yesterday that Chase Young, after half a season in San Francisco in his fourth year in the NFL, was signing a deal with the New Orleans Saints. 1 year, $13 million, to join what has been a really solid Saints defense over the last 3 to 5 seasons in the National Football League. But after that signing, he is going to have a neck procedure as well. So New Orleans makes a small splash in free agency, but there will be some health concerns for Chase Young, which has really been the story of his young NFL career coming up in 2024.
Yeah, they said they knew, and I don't doubt that, that they knew, right? That you can't be possibly traded for a guy like that. But a neck injury, though, Ben, you know what I mean? Boy, every time you want to buy in, like we were talking yesterday, I want to continue to buy into this Saints team. I think they could be really good, a good addition, right, on paper. And then you find out the guy's got a neck injury. This isn't like an arm or an elbow or even a shoulder. I mean, you don't want to fool around with a neck injury. Who knows what they're really doing? Who knows what they're going to find out? It's just, you know, they're talking about him missing a part of training camp. So this is not just something, okay, a month from now he's going to be fine, Scott, don't worry about it. They're talking about, you know, a few months rehab. So who knows how long that's going to go. But I guess if they were comfortable with the situation, they gave him the $10+ million. But it's just kind of weird. You know, you want to get all excited as a Saints fan, then you find out the guy needs neck surgery. It's like, holy fudge.
Yeah, it's not exactly the most optimistic thing you want to see after a signing. Again, the knowledge of it prior, a physical, I'm sure, was done before any contract was signed on a bottom line. But for Chase Young, again, after a rookie of the year season on the defensive side of the football in his first year in Washington, 7.5 sacks, seemed like he was going to be a game breaker, that second overall pick out of Ohio State, to then only play 12 games the next two seasons, was pretty healthy last year, 16 games split between both Washington and San Francisco. Not the first thing you want after signing a deal for a new franchise. So when you go around the National Football League at this moment, Scott, not many more news and notes just to bring you yet. Caleb Williams getting ready for his pro day, however, and that NFL draft market is always one we monitor. Minus 5,000 for Caleb Williams to be that first overall pick. Jaden Daniels minus 180 to be the second overall pick. And now Drake May, minus 150 to be the third overall pick. They have also opened up the market, Scott, for sixth overall, seventh overall, and eighth overall. We'll look at those numbers and who the teams are and where they might be thinking of drafting in just a moment. But I did want to make this point, Scott. Here we are just over a month out from the 2024 NFL Draft. Thursday, April 25th is that opening night, that first round out in Detroit. And although we are going to see these numbers move again, they are not always going to look the way they are right now. I believe we see quarterbacks 1, 2, 3 in the order it's being presented right now from the odds makers. Earlier this offseason, earlier in the draft cycle, when Drake May was the odds on favorite, I believe Washington was going there, but just some of the reports about what the Commanders are looking for, Jaden Daniels might more so be their guy. But I think we go 1, 2, 3. There will be some steam around JJ McCarthy, but I still think Drake May goes in the top three.
Yeah, and then you got Marvin Harrison being the consensus first non-quarterback selected. He's -7 to 1. I bring that up, Ben, because today is Ohio State's pro day, and I'll give you one guess on who is not working out again today. And that would be, according to Albert Breer anyway, Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, yeah. Is that ultimately going to affect his draft status? Probably not, you know, probably not. But I don't, you get some GMs that are a little anal about this stuff. And it's just say, you know, if you're not going to work out at the pro day of your own college where you control the complete environment, you throw to receivers that you're familiar with. I mean, what's he afraid of, Ben? I mean, is he not in shape? I mean, I would respect the guy if he just came out and said, hey, listen, you know what? I haven't put on uniform and been playing football in 2 months. So I'm not in game shape. So if you're going to judge me being a step slow because I'm running a 4.5 versus a 4.4 or 4.35, whatever the case may be, then I'm not gonna do it then. I'd respect him for that. I don't expect the guy to be in game shape. I'd like for him to be in game shape since his career is on the line here, but okay. But he's not even doing that. He's not really giving an explanation. It's another bad look and just a one more red flag. You know, with a father who's been in the NFL, you'd think he'd be accustomed to all this stuff and be okay with all this stuff. I don't know. Am I making a mountain out of a molehill or does it bother you?
I don't know, right? It's one of those things where each individual is under their own prerogative. From what we have seen out of Marvin Harrison Jr. on the actual football field, he's a competitor, and he's one of the best wide receiver prospects we've probably seen in the last 5 to 10 years. He is that good in what he does. But how does it all work in a draft cycle, which is really a long job interview? And your performance, I guess, speaks for itself, and you point to the tape, and you point to the actual football games, and you say, that is the most important and significant thing. And I think most NFL organizations and draft evaluators would say, yes, it is. Probably 75-80% of the pies. God, I think the days of like what we have seen in the movie Draft Day of when a quarterback's teammates didn't show up at his birthday party and try to find out I don't think that's a true key, right? But are there some things like we talk about in the combine in Indy that you see in Indianapolis, whether it be in an interview, whether it be in a workout, and it's a part of the equation. It is not the majority part of the equation. It is not necessarily the major part, maybe not even more than 5 or 10% of the 100% pie of the full stock that you put in to a prospect who you're going to invest in to join your NFL team. But there's some parts that just spook you out a little bit. If in a job interview, Scott, either of us, right, working at a media company, even when we came here to Sports Grid, if they saw our demo reel and they said, hey, this guy's talented, and then I walk in there and I say, hey, I think your management is crap. I think what you guys do here is terrible. I want $100 million. They would say, all right, kick rocks, bud. We don't care how talented you are. That's part of it, I guess. It's a different level, of course. I'm not comparing a job interview at a media company, a sales company, whatever it might be, to the National Football League. But it is some of these signs that I think will make some teams be a little bit hesitant. But I think mainly with the Arizona Cardinals drafting fourth overall and MHJ still being a minus 230 favorite to be that fourth overall pick, I don't think it's going to move his number, and I still think the Cardinals ultimately, after the three quarterbacks go off the board, if that's the order things remain, I still think Arizona selects Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I would like to think the Cardinals especially have talked to him. Like, there's a story about how the Giants brought in Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. So teams can actually do these interviews if the players are willing. I'd like to think the Cardinals reached out to him and said, all right, hey, listen, you mind if we have a sit down and just talk to him and figure out why he's not doing all these things. Maybe because he's in love with Arizona and he doesn't want to go elsewhere. Or maybe he hates Arizona and is trying to say, you know what, I don't want to play for you, Cardinals. You know what, don't draft because I'm going to be a jerk if it, you know, so I'm going to fall down a slide or two and go to this team or that team. I don't know, but I would like to think that the Cardinals would do their due diligence since they are really basically right first man up after the three quarterbacks, as we all assume, are going to go. And obviously they need a wide receiver. So is he that much better than all the other wide receivers? We'll see. I mean, certainly he's got the pedigree, right, with his father being a, you know, Hall of Fame wide receiver. So you would think that would translate to him. But there have been 1,000 wide receivers that were great in college, Ben, that couldn't cut it in the NFL because they couldn't catch a football coming at them at 70 miles an hour versus, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever in college, or wasn't smart enough to run routes or whatever the case may be. So nothing's a given. You just hate to, you know, buy in on something that has so many red flags, you know, just being thrown at you.
Yeah. And listen, they are red flags, right? How valuable you think those red flags are, how much stock you put into them, I think that's for each individual and each individual club to determine. I still think when you look at Marvin Harrison Jr., the pros probably outweigh the cons if you consider them to be such, and he's still a minus 230 favorite to be that fourth overall pick. Scott, I mentioned we have new markets up in terms of what we have there at 6, 7, and 8. Did want to mention, though, at number 5 overall, which the Chargers currently hold, Malik Nabers is the favorite at plus 170 to the wide receiver out of LSU, who barely lost out to Marvin Harrison Jr. in the Biletnikoff Award race this past season in college football. I will say, Scott, I'm not sure this is directly correlated to Marvin Harrison not really working out at the pro day in Columbus, but he was not the second best price to be the number 5 overall pick just a day ago. Now he is at plus 340. J.J. McCarthy, third best number at 4-1. And again, I will say this, with J.J. McCarthy having the third best price and that number shortening, the Chargers hold the 5th overall pick. LA, despite Jim Harbaugh's tie to his favorite quarterback he's ever worked with in J.J. McCarthy, is not going to take McCarthy. That would be a trade up for whoever that team might be. I think it's the Minnesota Vikings, who are now an odds-on favorite at minus 115 to draft J.J. McCarthy.
That would be interesting, having some of these trades. And what could you get for trades like that? Some of these numbers, as you mentioned, they're going to flip all over the place. It's going to take one goofy story. I saw this person with the New England Patriots, and the Patriots aren't going to draft a quarterback. Or I saw him with Washington, and Washington's going to go this way or that way. So, you know, you could play the game and grab guys that you think are right now on the outside looking in and get them at a good number. And then, you hope, you cross your fingers that some story will come out. You know, I remember looking at these numbers, just a couple of weeks ago, and Drake May was the overwhelming favorite to be the number 2 overall choice. I'm looking at a site right now that has Jalen Daniels as minus 210. So basically the overall choice to be the second guy taken with Drake May now being the third at plus 125. So, one thing I've learned following this over the last couple of years is I wouldn't put too much credence into these odds. Whereas if I see a line moving in an NBA game or a football game or a hockey game, baseball, whatever, I'm like, oh, somebody knows something, right? With these draft things, I don't think that for one second. And I'm the most skeptical person out there. I don't think anyone knows anything. I really don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of steam that influences these numbers. How much of it is credible? How much of it can even be quantified by an odds maker? That is anybody's best guess. We'll look at the new markets that have come up. Who's going to pick 6th overall, 7th, and 8th? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
As we get closer to the 2024 NFL draft, more and more markets will open up. As we have said, we are just about 5 weeks away from tomorrow, from April 25th, of being at the NFL draft and that opening night in Detroit. Scott, we've had the first 5 overall selection odds up there for some time, the first 2 and 3. Mainly focused around the quarterbacks in this draft for even a little bit longer than that. As of today, new markets are up. 6th overall pick, 7th overall pick, and that 8th overall selection as well. The teams that currently hold those picks, the Giants at number 6, the Titans at number 7, and the Atlanta Falcons at number 8. We start with the G-men at number 6. The favorite right now to go 6th overall is also the wide receiver out of LSU, Malik Nabers, who is also the favorite to be the 5th overall selection. J.J. McCarthy has the second best price at plus 430. Joe Alt, who's an offensive tackle from Notre Dame, and Roma Dunze, a wide receiver from Washington, tied for the third best number at plus 470. Scott, ultimately, being here in the greater New York, New Jersey area, what do you think the Giants do with that 6th overall selection? What direction do they look for that draft pick?
I don't know if they're necessarily really like going away from Daniel Nichols, as I like to call him, Danny Dimes, Danny Nichols. So if Nabers is there, I would be shocked if they didn't grab him at six. If he's not there, I'm figuring Ault will be gone, right? I mean, would they really take J.J. McCarthy? There's been some buzz about that. Man, I hate that selection. As much as I'm not a Danny Nichols fan, I'm not a J.J. McCarthy fan that high in the draft. But I would think they would go wide receiver. Odunze would maybe the second choice. But Neighbors, if he's there, and Odunze from Washington, if he's not.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty smart. It would make sense to me for the Giants to invest on the offensive side of the football to provide Daniel Jones an opportunity in year number two. We've heard from Drew Locke, of course, who signed with New York just last week, 1 year, $5 million deal, that he expects to be the backup. All indications out of the Giants brass is that Daniel Jones, for better or worse, for at least this season, is going to be QB number one for the New York Giants. So give him some pieces at his disposal now with Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia. Malik Neighbors would make a ton of sense for me. You can always protect your quarterbacks, but the Giants have actually invested on the offensive line in the last few drafts. It hasn't necessarily been the best investments, as guys like Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas haven't been standout Pro Bowl type players early on in this year, but in their careers, I should say. But again, not terrible investments there. It would seem to be that if the Giants hold on to that pick, a wide receiver will be the selection, and more than likely, that will be Malik Neighbors. But I do believe, Scott, that New York is going to be looking at a quarterback. I don't ultimately believe they select a QB at sixth overall. But there was a report that Minnesota, who is in love with J.J. McCarthy, wants to get J.J. McCarthy. The Vikings draft 11th overall. You would think after the Giants, the Titans are good. They got Will Levis. The Falcons now, of course, have Kirk Cousins, so they're out of the quarterback market. At 9, it's Chicago, who will draft Caleb Williams first overall, and the Jets pick 10th. So after you really get out of the top three, should there really be an issue? The Cardinals, the Chargers, the Giants are 4, 5, and 6. There's a thought, though, that the Giants are interested in a quarterback, and it could result in the Vikings having to trade up and offer a lot of pieces. And of course, the Vikings got a second first round pick from Cleveland just last week. Could the Giants be in that negotiating spot with either the Chargers or with the Vikings themselves, knowing how Minnesota is circling in on a quarterback?
It's not bad. You know, they're not falling that far down. You know, it's not like you're asking the Giants to trade out of the first round, because I don't think they would do that. I think both the GM and the head coach are under a lot of pressure here. So they definitely don't want to do that. But if the Vikings are willing to throw you a whole slew of things, including that second first round pick that they got, I was talking about that last week. You know, that's not a great, 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 like, you know, top two, three, four pick, but, you know, it's still a first rounder. You know, how high could you move up with the 11 and that one? You know, could you get to six with the Giants? I would think New York would say yes to that deal. You know, you listen, you want the pick of the litter of the second best quarterbacks? Knock yourself out. We still got Danny Nichols 3 more years. You know, we gave him the money. Not another regime, not another head coach, not another GM. So I think they still actually buy into him. And if we can go get two pieces to help him versus one, I think they'd be willing to do that.
Yeah, it is interesting too, right? What are the Giants looking to invest this year? Are the Giants saying, hey, we got Daniel Jones on the hook for 4 years, but really front-loaded in the first two? If it doesn't work this year and we're bad, then we get a quarterback. Are they willing to sacrifice a full season? I'm not entirely sure. But it would make some sense to me, Scott, that if you want Daniel Jones to be the guy, if that's the easiest way, and you do have belief, enough belief at least that you gave him a 4-year deal last year instead of cutting ties despite a playoff win. I don't think the Giants were putting to a pigeonhole where they had no other way around. That's not how the NFL works, or at least how it should not work. You draft a wide receiver like a talented Malik Neighbors, like a Rome Odunze. You see if Daniel Jones can maximize that talent. If it's not DJ, then whoever you end up getting, more than likely at the quarterback spot, probably in the top 10 once again after a dismal year, if Daniel Jones is not that guy, they have one of the best pieces at their disposal already in a guy that was drafted like a Malik Neighbors or a Rome Odunze. It would make sense from that perspective. I wonder if the Giants stay at sixth overall. Now, the Titans, Scott, the favorite to go number 7 overall, that is the offensive lineman, Joe Ault, minus 115 for the big offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, highly regarded as the best tackle in this draft. And he's minus 115 to go 7th. He's also a minus 220 favorite, Scott, and another market available to be the first O-lineman drafted. It's pretty much been the projection that ever since the beginning of 2023 between Joe Ault and even Olu Fashanu Oshanu out of Penn State. Those would be the two guys battling it out for the first tackle off the board.
Yeah, you would think so, because theoretically, you know, they get Pollard, so they don't need a running back. They get Ridley, team him up with Andre Hopkins, who's still there.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily need that wide receiver. So you look elsewhere if you really think Ridley is a number one. I also, by the way, think the Chargers could be in play here with a possible trade. Just, you know, with all the people
Correct.
That they've gotten rid of with the new head coach and a new GM coming in, and they, you know, you want to trade me two for one? I think that would be a spot that the Minnesota could move up on as well. But as far as Tennessee, it does make sense with all right or an offensive lineman. We got some weapons, we got a young quarterback, you know, we want to protect him as much as possible, so O-line would be the logical choice for Tennessee.
Yeah, it certainly would. That would be what I expect them to do. We'll see if that ends up being the case. But they also did draft last year Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern. So you're trying to solidify what you have there on the offensive line. Again, I don't think the Titans are going to be very good this year, Scott. I think their win total is probably going to be 6.5, 7.5. But you have to see what you have in Will Levis. Sure, he wasn't a first-round pick, as many people projected at this point a season ago. He was the second pick of the second round. There's that belief that he is your franchise quarterback moving forward. Although I don't agree with the Tony Pollard signing after letting go of Derrick Henry to invest in the running back position, it makes them better offensively. I think Tajay Spears, the rookie running back out of Tulane a season ago, really showed some promise. He's a good get. And then you pay Calvin Ridley. Was it too much? We'll see. You have DeAndre Hopkins there, but at least there is a thought. We're going to surround Will Levis to have all the talent he needs to produce. It will be a question if he does. That 6-1 price for the Titans in the AFC South being the longest. Again, not overly optimistic, but they could be an intriguing team who's always, at least under Mike Vrabel, been very difficult to nail down. When they're not expected to do much as an underdog, they always keep games close. But when they are expected to do something, they often fall flat.
Yeah, you know, and we say it every year, right? There's always a last place team that goes from last to first every single year. So we got to, you know, we get closer to the season, we can pick some out. And certainly that's a possibility in a division which, you know, you'd have confidence in the Houston Texans. I think they're only going to get better, but, you know, you never know. We've seen one-hit wonders, and then we don't know what we're getting out of Jacksonville after they came back to the pack from 2 years ago when they had all their success. So it's a possibility. Right. You know, I'm not a big Will Levis guy either, but I think you have to give them at least the benefit of the doubt and give them protection up front. And they got, like I said, they got a couple of weapons that they can utilize on offense.
Yeah. And so we'll see what the Titans decide to do. I would expect it to be an offensive lineman. Eighth overall now is intriguing, too. It's the Atlanta Falcons. What does Atlanta try to do with that eighth overall pick? You would have to believe, Scott, not only the last 4 years having drafted an offensive player, or at least the last 3 years drafting an offensive player with one of their top 10 picks, that they're going to the defensive side of the football after the investment, of course, in the quarterback spot this offseason. That being Kirk Cousins. They've added a few other pieces around there, of course, in what they have done, the signing of Darnell Mooney, the trade for Rondell Moore. The favorite to go eighth overall, Scott, which just seems to make a ton of sense, is the very talented linebacker, edge rusher, athletic freak combo out of Alabama, Dallas Turner. It's plus 130.
Yeah, you would think, right? I mean, they've done so much on offense with signing Kirk Cousins and everything else. I mean, and seemingly they had all the weapons on offense, so you have to look at the defensive side of the ball. If he's the guy, if they think, you know, that's a pretty good bet, I think, on some of these sites. FanDuel here in New York doesn't offer any of this stuff. So I'm just looking at some of the offshore books and some of the other places.
Yeah.
But, you know, first team to take a defensive player, to me, you know, odds are, you know, if you can get that kind of bet, right, it's got to be the Falcons. I mean, I don't think the Giants would, and I don't think all the others, you know, are going to be taking defensive players. Maybe the Chargers, but whatever, that Falcon defense wasn't horrible, but, you know, you could move the ball against them. So if he's the guy, he's the edge rusher that you like, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be what they end up doing, at least with some sort of investment on the defensive side of the football. Jared Verse at a 7-1 number is that second best price to be the eighth overall selection for the Atlanta Falcons. Again, this is where things are right now, and I always say that caveat, Scott. The Falcons have the eighth pick. To be that eighth overall pick and to cash that ticket at plus 130 doesn't mean the Falcons have to pick Dallas Turner, just that he is the eighth guy off the board. I do think Atlanta waits there and stays there and will not really be in a trade piece. And oh, by the way, everybody we've talked about Dallas Turner is the first name that we have mentioned from the defensive side of the football, and Dallas Turner is minus 210 to be the first defensive player drafted in the 2024 NFL draft. That wouldn't happen until the 8th overall pick, Scott, and there might only be one or two defensive players in the top 10. We'll get those odds for Chicago at 9 if they stay there, and the New York Jets at 10th overall. We've seen a lot more defense go early and often, but this seems to be at least early on an offensive-focused draft.
Yeah, I know some of these sites, even FanDuel in New York, I believe, offer this one, you know, total offensive players versus total defensive players.
Yeah.
And it's usually, believe it or not, right around a 50-50 split, you know, one or two. But I do kind of like that, and I do think it's going to be sided towards offense this year.
Yeah, it was really kind of that even split, 15.5, and the over's got the juice for one,
yeah.
17.5, right. The under has the juice for the other, whatever it might be. But I would think there's probably a heavy skew to the offense this year with how many quarterbacks we could see go in the opening round. We've talked about the three, then there's J.J. McCarthy, there's Michael Penix Jr. still, there's Bo Nix. We've only ever seen at most in the modern draft era five quarterbacks in the first round. But we've seen it a few times, and as of late, we saw it in 2021 as well, and as we look at that 2021 NFL draft and you see all of the esteem and the hype that these quarterback prospects will get, know that those five quarterbacks taken in the first 15 picks of the 2021 NFL draft first round, only one of them is going to more than likely at least be the starter or even play on his team by the time he reaches his fourth season. That's Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Zach Wilson hasn't left the Jets yet, but seemingly he will. Trey Lance has already been traded. Justin Fields has already been traded from Chicago. And, of course, Mac Jones traded from New England earlier this offseason as well. A few closing thoughts on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
This is the last edition of Football Full Circle this week on Sports Grid Radio. I am Ben Stevens. He is Scott Wetzel. Starting tomorrow, as you can see, the music is amped up for it. We will have our NCAA turn.
There we go.
We have our. We got me? We got everybody? We're good?
Yep. All right. Yeah, we're good.
Now we're good. I'll make this announcement here before we get out of here so you guys know what is coming your way starting at noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio the next 2 days. The round of 64 of the NCAA tournament starts on Thursday at noon Eastern. Sports Grid's Bracket Central in-game live coverage of the NCAA tournament will begin. I will be live with James Young, our coach, from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on both Thursday and Friday. So no FFC, but a ton of coverage, Scott, for the two best days on the sports calendar in my estimation, and people will hear from you at night as well on Sports Grid's Bracket Central throughout those first two rounds.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun, right? NCAA tournament, a nonstop gambling from basically noon Eastern time to, I don't know, about 1 o'clock or so in the morning when the West Coast games finish up. So, you know, I know you have the Super Bowl and you have bigger one-day, one-event things, but as far as just, 16 great basketball games, two straight days, it's a whole lot of fun. It really is.
Yeah, in terms of betting handle, Scott, you're right. The Super Bowl gets all of the attention. It is by far the biggest sports betting day in the United States and maybe even around the globe. But at least here in the U.S., the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, the round of 64, has the biggest handle outside of the Super Bowl. So all the attention that we will see paid to March Madness over the next 2 days. Here's a round of 64 best bet for me before you hear from us tomorrow. I like Colorado State, who just won the first four in Dayton. +2.5 against Texas. I think the Rams will continue dancing into the round of 32. You'll hear from Scott tomorrow all across Sports Grid to take you through the night coverage of the round of 64. I'll talk to you at noon Eastern. It's Sports Grid's Bracket Central NCAA tourney coverage. For Football Full Circle, for one final time this week, we thank you for being here. We'll talk tomorrow.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.